Oh, Father, I thank you for those who came out to sit in your presence tonight and to drink from your fountain and eat from your table and just to be blessed, God. And Father God, I'm just asking that you pour every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob out upon this group of people. They're so faithful to you, Lord, and they love you. And they only want what you want for them, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'm going to talk about first base is love. All right? We are about to go deeper than we ever have in this pure love walk God has been trying to get us into. Love is going to be it. We can't do it any other way without love. We have been learning that true love is what is going to change the world. So we have to make sure our love is a pure love. You're not just something we're just throwing words out there. When you say I love you, it should come from the very depth of your heart. Not from your mind that's trying to get something or control something, but it should come from the very depth of your heart. God has been trying to get us to learn to love extravagantly. This scripture is a critical exhortation for us as Philippians 1, 9, and 10. Why? It means there are inappropriate ways to love. There are deceptions that feel right, but are poor representations or even counterfeits of truth. As we begin to dig deep, into God's love, we have to be aware that the enemy will work hard to redefine, misrepresent, and to twist true love. He's already doing that. That's why we have the mess in the world that we have. The enemy is so terrified of pure love being revealed that he is willing to promote and endorse a compromised, lesser version of it. Love, defined by human emotion instead of the word, is his plan. That's what the enemy wants. Love, defined by human emotion instead of the word, is his plan. That's why we have all this perversion in the world today, is because the enemy has really accomplished that to the limit. Just like a baseball game, when you run the bases, you must always hit first base first. You might be asking, what is first base? In the word, it is what Jesus called the first and greatest commandment. Love is the foundation. Matthew 22:36. Teacher, which is a great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's read that again. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Right here, Jesus identifies first base for every believer. The law of love is first base. Love of God and the love of others. All right. That is why in Romans 13:9, Paul tells us, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. He's saying you can do all these other things, but you have to have love. This is the reason why when people get married, most of the time there isn't real love there. There's attraction, lust, but it's not real love, and that's why marriages fall apart. And if we really learn to love as God loves, we will know what is love and what is not love, true love. And you won't find so many people getting tangled up in lust. If you really love God, you will love. You won't lust. Love is a fulfillment of the law. Over in 1 John 2:10, we also learn that pursuing love is the key to walking in the light and life of God. Pursuing love is the key to walking in the light and life of God. 1 John 2:10 says, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Notice that walking in love keeps you from having any occasion of stumbling. Far too many folks in the body of Christ are stumbling around in darkness simply because they are connected to darkness. through fear and disobedience to the love commandment. Let's go back up there where it says love is a fulfillment of the law. Over in 1 John 2:10, we also learn that pursuing love is a key to walking in the light and life of God. You know, too many people are pursuing gifts. Too many people are pursuing signs, wonders, and miracles. Too many people are pursuing titles. And what we should be pursuing is love. And when you get that love walk down, I'm going to tell you, there's no door that closes to you. God opens every door to you. So quit pursuing all these other things. Pursue Jesus Christ first. And then whenever you have him, then pursue love. Just because you said, told Jesus you give him his heart does not mean you have a love foundation. Because a lot of you can say that you have to work on a love foundation because you've been so used to being in the world and doing the worldly thing that love just never existed really. Emotions existed, but not true love. Notice that walking in love keeps you from having any occasion of stumbling. I'm repeating this. Far too many people in the body of Christ are stumbling around in darkness simply because they are connected to darkness through fear and disobedience to the love commandment. Fear is a connector. The sad fact is many of God's people operate in fear and even raise their children under the dominant influence of the law of fear. Fear is a connector. It connects people to negative results and outcomes. The Holy Spirit spoke one time and said, the fear of death connects you to the death you fear. The fear of death connects you to the death you fear. In his word, God, who is love, has given us the key to breaking free of the slavery of the law of fear. You know, if you have fear, then you're not perfected in love yet. Because if you're perfected in love, you will not have fear. Even when fear tries to raise up, it won't be able to because you're so connected to love that it just drowns out all fear. This is why a lot of marriages, you know, if the husband's running around or the wife's running around, you know, the husband or wife, they're set in fear. Oh, they're going to come home. Am I ever going to see him again? You know, it's because you are not connected to love. And your love walk is not perfected. If your love walk was perfected, you would know that God has you in the palm of his hands. And he doesn't want you sitting around fearing whether or not that spouse is going to come back home. He wants you to trust him that he'll take care of you no matter how it turns out. And we get frustrated and we get weary and we do all kind of dumb things. And it really and truly, if you really realized how much God loves you, you wouldn't get all upset because a human being doesn't love you. Are you listening here? And this is why we get so messed up in any lifestyle, is because we are expecting somebody to love us and they can't. And we don't understand how much God loves us, and he does. And so we just keep reaching out to people for that love, and we need to be reaching to God for that love. And once you learn that God loves you, then it doesn't matter. You get hurt when your spouse or whoever doesn't do right, but it won't devastate you. You won't die in that thing because you'll know that somebody really does love you, and that's God. All right? You know, kids look to the parents to love them, don't they? And really, they're too young to understand, but when parents don't love kids, it just totally destroys kids. And you know, and this is what happens to you and I, too, whenever we get connected to somebody who doesn't love us, and we're trying to either make them love us or trying to change so they will love us, and then we get all messed up. And we need to stop that. We just need to die out to ourselves. Give ourselves over to God and say, God, if you don't change it, it won't get changed. And just go ahead and do the things God's calling you for to do. Stay in the love walk. Don't hate that person because they can't love you, because they're probably bound to begin with. And they don't know how to get out there. They think they're loving you, but they're not loving you the way God wanted them to love you. So if you just give God a chance, put them in God's hands, and you just stay in your love walk, just maybe they might turn around. Remember the movie star I told you about? I forget who it was anymore. He left his wife, and so she got saved. And they told her if she really wanted it back, that she would never speak negative about it. So for 3 years, every time she cooked a meal, she placed two dishes on the plates on the table and sat there and talked to him and everything else. And after three, and he married in the meantime, but she kept right on because she had trusted God was going to bring him back. And after 3 years, one day he appeared at her doorstep and he went crying, "Will you take me back?" And they have a wonderful marriage, you know. But she never once doubted that, but see, God prophesied to her, he will come back. That's what she was hanging on to. And she never once doubted that he wouldn't come back and God wouldn't straighten things out, even when he married. She said, no, God said. And so she always set two plates at the table. I really thought that really raised my faith a whole bunch, to see that somebody had that much faith to do all that, even when he remarried. All right? Why did she do that? Because she really did love her husband. It wasn't some fleshly thing she was feeling for him. She really did love him from the very depth of her being, and she was willing to wait until God brought him back. All right? And there's a pastor up north who tells about when his wife left him. So he wasn't a pastor then, though, but he was born again. And so the pastor said to him one time, "I thought you said you wanted your wife back. I do." He said, "Well, then why are you trying to date other women?" He said, "Well, she's dating." And the pastor said, "It doesn't matter. She's dating. Do you love her?" He said, "Yes, I do. I love her." He said, "Then you quit your dating and you just trust God to bring her back." And he said he used to go to the trailer she was in and she'd have a date in there, you know, doing her thing. And he'd stand underneath the window and pray for them. Pray for his wife to come back to him. And she came back, and they're really happy, have a big church and everything, you know. So see, but he goes, I thought that was something, he goes to that trailer every night and pray under the windows, he heard them in there. That's my wife, and God said she's coming back. I want her back, God. And he didn't look at nobody else. He just kept his eyes on the fact that God was going to bring her back home. You don't see that nowadays. Hebrews 2:14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, and that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus died for you and I, so we wouldn't be subject to bondage of fear or anything else. So if we're really walking in love, if we really love the Father the way we said, then we are never going to walk in fear. Amen? We're not. We're not, because fear pushes all, love pushes all that fear out. I would strongly suggest that you study and meditate on this scripture of Hebrews 2:14. Notice it is fear that made you subject to bondage. Fear of death or the fear of loss. Fear is a spiritual connector. Fear connects you to things, and so does love. Stir up your pure mind. We have all heard about love. We have knowledge of this principle. So it is not the knowing about it that is a problem. The problem is that we are not stirred up in our minds about what we already know. And that doesn't only involve love. That involves everything we've learned about the Father. We hear it always, this is just wonderful, but then we sort of like forget about it. But So it is not the knowing about it that is the problem. The problem is that we are not stirred up in our minds about what we already know. In 2 Peter 3:1, Peter wrote, "Beloved, I now write unto you to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Think about what it means for us to stir up our pure minds until we not only know something, but we also purpose to keep it before us until we remember it all the time. All right? There'd be a whole lot less confusion in the body of Christ if we did this. If we stirred up the things that we already have in our mind. Instead of adding more junk in there to clutter it, you know, leave the junk out and just start stirring up the things that we already have, that God has already given us. And especially about love. It's all I see, read anymore is love, love, love. And everybody keeps saying that, who was it? Bob Jones, when he went to heaven before he died, God said one question he's going to ask everybody when they stand before him is, did you learn to love? So are you going to fail that question? because that'll keep you out of heaven. Because if you didn't learn to love, you can't go into heaven because everybody in heaven is full of love, right? For most of us, the spiritual law of love may be in our minds. It is just not on our minds very much. It's in our minds, but not on our minds very much. It sure hasn't been on the mind of the church to any degree, great degree here. I'm talking the church wide, or the church won't be in the mess it's in. We have had ourselves on our minds instead. And when you have nothing but yourself on your mind, you are headed for disaster. All right? You know what makes me mad, men? Is when a woman has to beg you to love her. She has to try to be something that she isn't just to keep you attracted to her. I think that's terrible. You men ought to be slapped up alongside the head. You know, who do you think you are? Really? You're not all that and then some. Then I think us women are dumb because we do that. I really do. We deserve whatever we get whenever we do that kind of stuff. You are you. And you deserve to be loved. If that hunk that you married doesn't want to love you, then tell him just go on and do his thing someplace else, because he's not going to destroy your life. That's the truth. Come on. And that is why we have to stir ourselves up where love is concerned. So what I said, if we don't stir up our minds about love, then we're headed for disaster. And that is why we have to stir ourselves up where love is concerned. And it also makes me mad when men have to be delivered so they can love their wife. Come on. Why do you have to be delivered to love your wife? You married her. Why did you marry her? Come on. I know. Well, I was lustful and I was into perversion. Blah, blah, blah. Get out of here. Then you shouldn't have married, right? Should have stayed single for a while, right? And then God set free before you ever got married. In fact, a couple of you in here was told to do that and you didn't do that and you got in trouble. So, anyhow, as you're out there ministering, you men, you tell the men they have to love their wife when they marry them. And they have to have that foremost on their mind and keep stirring the fact up that they love them. All right, that's your ministry, you men. I read the other day where just a little paragraph where God said he is raising up spiritual men who will walk in love and will treat their wives properly. So, That's a big plus, women. God's already working on raising up men who will do that. So whenever we see the world, because he's already worked on the church, he's left the church, and we see the world committed to church, and we see these young men, we can get excited because we know that they're going to love their wives, and there won't be as many divorces in the body of Christ because they already know how to love. Amen. So no matter what you have on your mind lately, have had on your mind lately, I want to challenge you to stir up the pure part of your mind. That's the love part, not the perversion part. Amen. Remember how Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift of God which is in you. In a similar way, we need to make sure we are stirred up about love, the love of God, our love for God, and our love for the people he gave his son to redeem. Remember how Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift of God which is in you. In a similar way, we need to make sure we are stirred up about love, the love of God, our love for, the love of God, God loves us, and our love for God, and our love for the people he gave his son to redeem. This is first base. If you don't get that together, you can't go to second base because you're going to be tagged out. All right? You have to stay at first base until you get the love walk right. Now, I said, all right, God, I'm going to teach this, but I think we've taught it long enough and often enough that they should already have it down pat, but we still don't. There's not one of us in here that has it down to where it should be. So first base is full. Somebody needs to get a home run in love so we can get somebody off first base. Amen? And so we can move on around the bases. All right, this is first base. It is the bottom line for every believer. A failure to understand this is why we haven't operated in the degree of power and victory Jesus purchased for us. And I'm here to tell you, when I was in my mess for a couple of years, when I walked out of love, all power and all authority left too. I can guarantee you, unless you love, have the love walk down, you won't have no power and you won't have no authority. You can use your voice all you want to and claim you do, but do you really? If you're not walking in pure love, no, you don't. You don't have that power and authority the way you ought. All right, then I said, a failure to understand this is why we haven't operated in the degree of power and victory Jesus purchased for us. It is why we haven't seen the law of abundance working fully and freely in the body of Christ. Yes, we have seen some results here and there, but the reality is that too many of God's people are dying, too many are sick, too many are broke and in debt, too many families are falling apart. Why? Because we don't have the love walk down right. If you still can't love your family, then you can't love anybody else. And you say, oh, yes, I can. No, you can't. God says, love the unlovable. We were getting out of the car, and I said, boy, I said, this drive from the house to the car with them two boys is something else. And God said, and Larry said something about nervous breakdown. I said, well, they give a new meaning to nervous breakdown. Or he's the one that said that. But still, no, we don't get all excited because we love the boys and they're boys. And, you know, we don't endure. We love them. And because we love them, everything stays together. But now a lot of people have kids that they can't stand. And they can't endure them. And they treat them that way. And then the kids get messed up. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, you deliverance ministers? And this is why when they get older, you hear you have grown-ups with little kids running all around inside of them. Isn't that right? It's time to change all that. Let's look again at what Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. That's why you have to keep hearing about love. I'll stir up your minds over and over and over and over again. Amen. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. He said, I'm just going to keep bringing it to your remembrance until you get it down in and get it pat. Maybe you need to get a tape on love. Just run it over and over and over again while you're sleeping or something, you know. Do something so you can get that love walk down. I'm going to tell you right now, in this church, there are people that don't know how to love yet. And because they don't know how to love, then all kind of mess goes on. And because they don't know how to love, then they get offended all the time. I just can't believe some of the reasons why people get offended in this church. I think, my goodness, when are you ever going to grow up? If you had the love walk going, you wouldn't get offended. And that is the absolute truth. The love walk stops offense. Love covers a multitude of sins. All right? And because I see what I see, I know that the love walk is not perfected yet. You're still on first base. You haven't gone any further. This is what we have to do. We must touch first base by total commitment and to obeying the commandment of love. Faith hangs on the law of love, Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith worketh through love. They were talking about being circumcised, what it was going to do for you. He said, that doesn't matter at anything. Faith works through love. So if you can't have faith for things, check your love walk. There's something in your love walk. Amen. This explains why so many people who claim to be faith people see so little in the way of miracles or breakthroughs. This explains why so many people who claim to be faith people see so little in the way of miracles or breakthroughs. Using your faith without operating in love simply won't work. Somebody in my family was really messing. I mean, they were really bad to me about a year ago or so. I lost track of time. And God said, daughter, you are the only one who can save him. You have to love him unconditionally. You have to love him no matter what he does or what you see or what he says to you. You have to love him. And so I said, all right, God, I will love him no matter what. I do love him anyhow, but he was being bad. And I was getting upset, and God knew that. And so I kept loving him no matter what he did. And sometimes Larry got mad. He'd say, I don't know why God makes you endure this. But you know what? That love brought him through. And if I wouldn't have loved him, because God said, your love is the only thing that's going to bring him through. If I wouldn't have loved him, he wouldn't be where he's at today. See, so you have to work on your love walk. You have to. Would you answer that, please, Chris? You have to work on it. And God says, love the unlovable. We are commanded to love the unlovable. I mean, it could be somebody you really adore, but yet they do some dumb things to you. At that point, you just like to flush them down the toilet. I like to stick their head in the toilet and flush it 10 times, you know. But you can't even do that. You have to keep on loving. Because after all, we do dumb things too. And we're not always lovable. So why do we judge somebody else when they're not being lovable? Do you know when you're being offended, you are very unlovable? You can't see anything good in anything, and you just want somebody to cater to you, and you're really being unlovable, but yet you still want everybody to love you, even though you don't want to love others. You guys are going to have to look at your own lives and see where you failed in your love walk. Then you're going to have to repent, forgive yourself, and then as you go forth, then just teach everybody else how to properly love. But when you failed in your love walk, it doesn't mean you're a total failure. Now, you can use that, what you call failing part of your walk, as a stepping stone to help other people. So anything that you go through isn't for naught. There's always a reason why you go through everything, and everything you go through, God can always use. Okay, faith hangs on the law of love. Is that right, Matt and Nancy? I read that, but let's read again. Faith hangs on the law of love in Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. This explains why so many people who claim to be faith people see so little in the way of miracles or breakthroughs. Using your faith without operating in love simply won't work. I know why I started to tell you something. I'm going to finish telling you. This person was very unlovable to me, got himself in trouble, and was looking at some prison time, all right? And so God said, you love him no matter what, you love him. And so I went to prayer for him, and God said, because of your love, and only because of your love, he won't go to prison, but he will get probation. Only because you loved him as I asked you to. So he went to court the other day, and he said, I'm going to jail, I'm going to jail, I'm going to prison, I'm going to jail. No, you're not. See, every time he'd say that over the course of about 8 months or whatever it was, I would go before the Father, and the Father would say, what I told you at first is, I'm still telling you now, he's not going to jail. They'll have stiff probation. And so finally, 4 days before he went to court, I heard him say to somebody, well, I'm going to get stiff probation. So he went to court. The judge really wanted to throw the books at him. But she said, all right, I'll go along with probation and no jail time. So I sit here. This explains why so many people who claim to be faith people see so little in the way of miracles or breakthroughs. Because I had faith in God. Because I knew that my God, when he told me something, he was going to bring it to pass. Because I know that my God loves me and I love him. And I know I do walk in love. I know I can see miracles all the time. And this was just the beginning of some of the great things God is going to do. Amen. And this person was not lovable for quite some time. But God said, love him. And no matter how mad I get at him, if he come to me, I just gush all over him. You know, and that was God loving him through me. Are you seeing this? Saints, die to self. Die to self. Forget about how people have hurt you. Forget about how life has hurt you. And somebody has to start loving somewhere. Why not it be you? you are the one that God wants to work through. In your workplace, in your school, you know, wherever you're at, in the marketplace, God and everybody else around you can be totally ignorant, but you can walk in love, and your love can seep out into others. All right? So I said, using your faith without operating in love simply won't work. Example, car's all gassed up, everything in running condition, but it won't move when you push on the gas. Why? You must put it in gear to have it run. In the same way the car works, faith is present in your spirit. But without love, your faith is not engaged. Faith works by love. That is why unforgiveness causes faith to seem feeble and ineffective. I refuse to walk in unforgiveness. I might get terribly upset, but I refuse to walk in unforgiveness because unforgiveness means I don't have the love walk down pat. And by walking unforgiveness, my love and my faith is not going to work. And God can't bless me or bless those I'm praying for. So guys, refuse to walk in unforgiveness. It is not worth losing out in life. It just isn't. Now, we can understand why Jesus said all of the law and the prophets hang upon a single two-part commandment: to love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor while you're at it. We left that love as you love yourself out there, because a lot of people don't love themselves. And then you need to forgive yourself. You need to learn to love yourself. Remember, for years, I wouldn't even look in the mirror because I was told I was unlovable, ugly, and everything else. And so I've never looked in the mirror. And then one day I realized God loves me. And he told me that I was lovable. And that changed my whole life. So I'm telling you tonight, God loves you. And you are lovable. It doesn't matter what somebody said about you. It doesn't all your life. It doesn't matter what you thought about you all your life. You are lovable and God loves you. It doesn't matter if anybody else loves you or not. God loves you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. And that's a promise from God. Faith is hanging on that love commandment. Because faith is released and functions under the law of faith. Faith is hanging on that love commandment. Because faith is released and functions under the law of faith. The law of faith hangs or is totally dependent on the law of love. Are you getting this tonight? Faith does work, but not without love. The shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the preparation of the gospel of peace, every weapon and spiritual asset at your disposal, all hang on that first and greatest commandment, which is love. That is first base. It is your foundation for success and victory. Don't skip first base. God keeps saying, go back to your first love. You know, somebody kept saying, I don't know why she hates me. I said, I don't hate the person. I said, God, why is it that I can't stand to be around them? Every time I'm around them, I get angry. And because I don't hate them, I don't even really know them. And God says, it's because the darkness is so deep within them that your spirit man cannot stand all that darkness and you don't want to be around it. And so, you know, she kept saying, why does she hate me? And I said, I don't hate her. I just don't want her near me. I don't want her in my house, you know, and she doesn't belong there. But so sometimes, you know, when you can't stand to be around somebody, it could be that they're so dark that your spirit man just can't stand all that darkness. And you have to get away from that darkness. And since it's my house, I can tell you don't come here no more, right? I don't want your darkness. It has nothing to do with my love walk. It just, that part just has to do with darkness, and the other person is so deep and so trenched, and God said they don't want to get rid of it right now. So if they don't want to get rid of it right now, then I can't be around it. You can't be around it. Because that will, I'm going to tell you, if you're around darkness long enough, it will affect your love walk. it will water down your love walk. I'm just going to be flat honest with you, because that's what happened to me. You're around darkness, a lot of darkness, long enough, it drains you. And this is where God told me, you've got to come back to your first love. You've allowed the circumstances around about you to drain that love out of you. So I had to go back and rebuild my love walk. How many of you in your night, you have to go back and rebuild your love walk? It isn't anything that you did, but it's the circumstances of life that are around about you. It just kept pulling on you and pulling on you and pulling on you until finally it broke. It broke you. And this is why God always says, don't stoop to their level, bring them up to your level. So if you're around somebody that is refusing to get out of darkness, then you're going to have to separate yourself from that person. It has nothing to do with love. You love them, but you don't love the darkness in them. And if you don't separate yourself from them, you're going to find yourself in the same darkness. That's what I found myself in, the same darkness. And I had to pull myself up out of that. Now, are you still going to get upset when you're walking in love walk? Absolutely. Jesus did, and he was love. So don't, if you get a little bit angry or upset, don't say, oh, my love walk's messed up. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's just after all, you know, we are human. Life is life. We have to live life. And the circumstances of life around about you, sometimes you just have to finally take your stand. It has nothing to do with your love walk. You still walk in love, right? You still love the person, but you say, look, now this is going on long enough. It has to stop. And you have to take your stand. If not, they're going to take you under with them. And our job is to pull people up, not go down. So I want each one of you in here tonight. God has been doing some great and powerful things in each person's life in here. Whether you know it or not, he really has been working deep within you. But also know that your love walk isn't quite where God wants it to be. It might be where you want it to be, but it's not quite where God wants it to be. If you allow your love walk to be where God wants it to be, you're never going to be pulled off course. You're not going to get down into Molly Grubbs and get this hate thing going. And, you know, I know that God wants to use each and every one of you in here in a mighty way. But unless you get your love walk right, he's going to have to pass you by. He won't be able to use you. And I can say that it with you guys in the deliverance ministry, you find out the more compassion that you're getting, the more you love the person, hate the sin, but love the person, the more power you're having in deliverance, aren't you? But you had to get to that compassion place, deep compassion and deep love and understanding. And I know that when sometimes you do deliverance, you cry with the people. And see, that's total love. And even though the sin is terrible, it's not the person it's the demonic realm that's in them. And you can still love them and still work with them and walk them through this. But until you have that compassion and that love, you don't have the power and the authority. More power and authority is coming into your deliverances, right? As you reached, when you two got yourselves right with each other, and then started walking in more compassion and love for the people, then God can move. He can come into the scene. But if you don't do all that, then God can't even come on the scene because you put a wall between you and him, because your love walk's not right. So tonight, God's telling me that he wants to circumcise your hearts once again. And he wants to take out the false love and put the pure love of God back into your hearts, where you can really go out there and operate in pure love and see his great signs, wonders, and miracles working through you. So the altar is open for that if you want.